Welcome to the Mommy Beta Podcast. This is episode 25 of Four New Mommies Beta Testing Parenthood. You have all four mommies on the line today. We have two Natalies, a Jennifer, and an Alex. Hello, ladies.
Hi. Good morning.
So this is the end of a holiday week. This was Halloween, and it was a pretty crazy week for all of us. So I want to apologize in advance. You're going to hear my house is like a madhouse right now because we had just been getting construction done on our backyard from the damage that the hurricane caused at the end of August when Snowtober hit this weekend, where we had a freak snowstorm at the end of October here on the East Coast, and it weighed down all the trees so that the trees came down again on our property. So the property that was being fixed, like our brand new fence and our brand new deck and the siding on the house, all had trees that just dropped down on us. It looked like
unbelievable.
Armageddon. It was the scariest thing I've ever seen, and I'm glad I didn't see when Hurricane Irene brought down the huge tree. But so you're going to hear, I'm going to try and mute the microphone when I'm not talking, because there are people just banging around. There's the new deck's going up, and we've got the insurance adjuster coming back to talk to my husband to see what else needs to be done. It's been crazy. And I wrote about this on mommybeta.com because, you know, we thought life would be so much easier in the suburbs. But if this had happened in Manhattan, we would have people to take care of it. It'd be a doorman who would take care of it or whatever. But we have to deal with all of it. There's a tree on our car. We had a taillight out now. I got to go take the car in for auto body work. It's just been bonkers. And I remember when I said, Natalie, you know, I was considering the burbs. You're like, the burbs rule. Most people just don't know that. And I feel like it was a total subterfuge.
Did I trick you?
You tricked me into moving to the burbs.
Well, the burbs and home ownership, I guess, are a little different.
That's true.
Yeah, but you know, I mean, you would still have to deal with it if a tree came down on your car. It wouldn't be you just call the landlord, although the landlord would help you. You know, there's just so much else that you have to deal with. And then in my blog post about writing about the experience, not only did we decide, and we just sort of we were here and we're like, ooh, pretty snow. And then the trees just started dropping like crazy. It was really rapid and fast, and it sounded really scary. And then the car got pinned in. So we moved the car out, and we thought, well, should we stay here or should we not? Is it safe? And a huge tree then came down in the middle of the street, and there was and a tree across the street just came down across the way. And the power started going out, and I said, okay, we're leaving right now. And it was dangerous for us to even leave, to get on the streets. We're literally just driving on the highway, and on the neighborhood streets, there were more trees just dropping out of the sky. So we were like, we hope one doesn't come down on our car.
Oh, my gosh.
So when we got to the highway, we were okay.
Oh, go ahead.
I think your problem is that you live on the East Coast.
Yeah.
Well, it's just ironic because obviously, I mean, this can't be the first snowstorm to hit your house.
No, but the reason this happened is because it's the first time that it snowed in October since the Civil War. So wow. The trees still have so much leaves on them. And so the leaves weigh down with the snow and pull the big branches out of the sky. They can't hold that. They're not designed to hold that. Normally when the snow comes, there are no leaves up there to collect the snow, and water is very heavy. So that's why things were just literally falling out, and no one could be prepared for this. There's no way you could prepare for this. And we didn't know how long it was going to snow. And when it started, they said, this is going to be 13 hours of heavy snow like this. So wow. We ended up getting in the car and leaving. And since my husband Clayton has to work so early on Sundays, we thought we might as well stay in Manhattan. We got a hotel overnight so that he can be there, because it would have been too hard for him to get in with the roads all closed anyway. And so we were lucky, and we, you know, went to a Cuban restaurant and got a crib in the hotel room, and we were fine. It was like 10 minutes where I was like, let's get out of here right now. And I threw together baby Mo's little overnight bag, and I was shocked that I didn't forget anything. I thought, you know, I'd be missing a sleep sack or a diaper or whatever, and we were fine.
That's amazing.
Food.
Yeah. I can't even pack a whole day ahead of time and not forget something.
That's pretty good. Did you bring your boots? I forget. Which boots are you testing out?
Oh, yeah. I did have those fabulous boots, but no, I didn't bring those. I had some other ones that were just by the door. I had my other snow boots. Last winter, at the end of the season, I bought some snow boots for like $5. They were great.
Nice.
I exaggerate, of course. So no, I didn't bring the boots, but I had everything else. I didn't have everything for me. I didn't have my moisturizer and eye cream, which is annoying. But no, I used the hotel's moisturizer on my face, which I know is a beauty no-no.
As we all know, the baby's number one now.
I didn't know that.
Well, I mean, what are you going to do, you know? And so the next day, we learned there still was no power, and our power company was starting to send us emails saying, we don't know when it's going to be back up, maybe Tuesday. And it's Sunday, and we're like, well, I guess we can't go back there. And we had Halloween plans with some neighbors. They have this super cute little parade in our downtown area with all the little kids and trick-or-treating at the stores and whatnot. And we just couldn't do any of that. We had carved a pumpkin that we wanted to, you know, put the candles in and put that out. I had a crap load of candy that I've been eating because we didn't we didn't hand any out. But you know what? It came out okay. I posted a little video on my blog post of us trick-or-treating. And I just called the Visitors Bureau of the town that we live in the Poconos, and I said, is there a parade or any kind of downtown trick-or-treating? They're like, yep, it starts at 5:30, and they had all the information. And so that was my workaround. Since we had last year's Halloween costume, we just took him there. So,
how novel. You made a phone call instead of Googling it?
Well, yeah. we were in the car. You know what? I didn't even bring a laptop. All I had was an iPad. So,
wow.
And you know what? In my experience, Googling things in the Poconos is not a good idea because people will have up a what? I learned this a couple weeks ago. We tried to go on a haunted hayride up there, and we showed up at the place that's supposed to have the hayride, and they're like, "Oh, that website was from like 2 years ago. We decided to do it this year." The internet and the Pocono Mountains, not really best friends. So you have to actually call people. This is the mountains. These are the Pennsylvania mountains we're talking about.
So, Natalie, how did Miles handle everything? I mean, was he fine just being moved around? I mean, did you still do your cloth diapering on the go and all that too?
Well, overnight in the hotel, I didn't. I took a few sposies, but then when we got to our house in the Poconos, I have a stash of cloth diapers there. So for one day, great. I put him into sposies, and then when we got to our house, I was able to change him out of that, which is, I was reading on Inhabitats. There was a post about how to cloth diaper in an emergency when Hurricane Irene hit, and you know, I mean, that takes a lot of preparation to put into your emergency kit. And I don't have, I should have after Hurricane Irene, but I didn't. And since we were heading to a hotel, I decided I didn't want to, you know, carry poop around as well as anything else. That I was
we doing. Don't blame you.
Yeah. It's one day. It's not. And what about food? Is he pretty much eating what you guys are eating now?
Yeah, but I keep a few purees in some Tupperware because he doesn't always feed himself the vegetables. So I kept some yogurt, some purees, and some bottles of milk, and it was fine. And I did run out of milk, but I went down to the Starbucks and bought some other milk the next day. So that was fine, too.
You're so resourceful. Nice. I love it. Yeah, and I love the fact that we don't – well, you never bought formula, but, you know, it's so much easier to find milk now than to – well, maybe not so much from your boob, but
– yeah, that's true, to just kind of buy it on the corner market, which is nice. And I'm still, you know, I just won't give him any milk that's not organic because I'm really against chemicals and antibiotics in milk. And so that was the one thing I was a little concerned about because, you know, in a New York City bodega, you're not necessarily going to get what you want, but we did. We were able to find some organic milk. And I don't want to give him chocolate milk, and I don't want to give him low-fat milk. And so that was a little kind of tricky, and you know, but you just keep working around. And Miles takes everything in stride, you know, going to the Halloween party on his dad's show and then going trick-or-treating the next day. Like, Miles has just been moved around so much throughout his whole life that, I mean, he's been to something like 12 states and had 22 plane rides or something crazy like that in a year. So,
well, I think you guys have done a really great job at you know, with the traveling with the kid and making him feel comfortable and just getting him used to that. So that's really great. That's just a testament on your guys' good parenting.
Well, the baby mirrors and matches your sentiment, right? So if you're kind of stressed and overly, you know, crazy about it, then the baby will be too.
Right.
So he just is kind of like, well, I got my parents, so I'm fine.
Yeah.
What else does he need? So how is your guys' Halloween? Better than that? Go as planned?
Yes, luckily.
Did you guys take the kids trick-or-treating?
Yeah, we did. Reese actually went to a Halloween party in the morning where there were about 30 toddlers dressed up. So it was so much fun. It was just at this community center, actually across the street from my house. And what I loved is that they didn't have just traditional sugary candy, but they had whole grain crackers, pureed fruit and veggie pouches, so that, you know, they weren't just filling up on junk. And we ended up going on a little parade And then she came home and napped. And then in the evening, we went trick-or-treating just along, we live in the city, so just in the neighborhood, but just along the streets, just to the shops. We went to a beauty salon and some of the restaurants, and we just had a blast. It was so much fun, so much fun. I want to do it again. And we gave, I don't know, did you guys let the kids try candy? Because I did.
Oh, yeah.
I gave her
He did more than try.
Oh, yeah. Reese tried it. I gave her a sugar. There's this candy store, and they had a little cart. And so you'd go and they'd fill up your bag with three different types of candies. So Reese chose gummy worms, not that she knew what they were. So I let her have one, and she devoured it the entire time. She's saying, yum, yum, yum. And she was all done. So then she goes, eh. And she did her little more sign. They said, sorry, sweetie, all done. And she threw a fit. I was so embarrassed. Man. I was that embarrassed moment. I'm like, I'm sorry, Reese. We're all done. Let's go. Let's go. And it took about, like 3 to 5 minutes to calm her down because she was that upset.
Wow.
Like, okay, no more candy for you.
You've let her have a taste of the crack. Now she can't get enough.
I know. It's my fault. But I didn't think I didn't think she'd be so upset, but she really liked the candy. And what kid wouldn't?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Tom had candy too.
Oh yes, Dominic definitely liked candy. We did our downtown had a little kind of open house where they shut down the street and all the merchants opened up their stores and handed out candy on Friday, and we went and did that, and that's where he had his first taste of candy ever, and it was a lollipop, like one of those little dum-dum lollipops. And I know lollipops are kind of like, oh, you're not really supposed to give them lollipops, but we just kind of let him suck on them for a minute and then took it away. But the hard thing that I had with the candy is there was so much of it that he couldn't have because it was like a choking hazard, like, Skittles or Gobstoppers or things like that. And I found that not a lot of people were handing out anything very soft. So we did luck out. We got, Reese's Peanut Butter Cup and a Kit Kat. So, he tried those and he was a huge fan, and those are his daddy's,
of course,
his daddy's favorite candies. Mm-hmm. And he had a couple on Halloween itself too. And I guess he had enough on Halloween where he wouldn't eat any dinner. So I feel kind of guilty that he basically had candy for dinner on Halloween. But I mean, it was only awesome. Like 3 pieces, but still, I mean, it's a lot of candy for a little guy, but he really had a good time. And he doesn't get crap on a regular basis. So yeah. I don't
was
feel too bad about
it. Was he super hyper after?
He was a little extra bouncy. Mm-hmm. He was he does this little thing where he says bunny hop, and he hops like a bunny, and he did that a lot. But he was pretty good.
That's cute. I was planning to let Miles have candy, but then downtown they didn't really have the good candies because the merchants were handing it out, so it was kind of the cheaper stuff. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't going to give him a Tootsie Roll that was super hard and old. It's his first candy, and then they had some like gum that he got. I'm like, who gives a kid gum?
Yeah.
There was a little church that handed out animal crackers, and he was excited about that. Cute. So that was all he had was some animal crackers, and he seemed fine with that. But he doesn't really love sweets all that much, so.
Wait till they get a hold of candy. I have a friend whose kid does not like sweets. Fruit or anything. He bit into a Reese's peanut butter cup, like the bag and everything, and he got a little bit of chocolate and he threw a fit when his mom took it away.
Oh, no. Well, Miles will eat fruit. He loves fruit. I even gave him a little bit of candied fruit and he liked that. But, I've given him some, and he likes peanut butter, so maybe he'll eat that. But chocolate, he doesn't really. Doesn't go for that, so I don't know. I mean, well, he had chocolate cake on his birthday, and he wanted nothing to do with it. So who knows? I don't know. Did Ellie eat any candy?
No, I'm a candy queen. My house is full of candy, and I have not. I'm evil. I haven't given her any. But I mean, I know next Halloween it's going to be all candy all day. So I'm not too worried about it right now. She'll get her fill of that in her lifetime.
Yeah. And Miles is a slow teether too. So, I didn't want him to have anything he couldn't chew. I know your kids have a lot more teeth, right?
Yeah.
Dominic's got a whole mouthful. Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah. Reese's I don't know if you, Natalie, have experienced this. Reese's molars are coming in. Well, she has three of her molars. The fourth one just popped through and her incisors are coming in and she is in so much pain. I feel so awful. Aww. I just wanted to feel better.
Dominic just got his first of his 2-year-old molars a week or two ago.
Oh,
and
my gosh.
It was so sad. And I was, you know, we had the trouble with the fever, and I'm pretty positive that the last time he had a fever, it was the last of his molar breaking through, because it mm-hmm. lasted for like 2 hours. He was super grumpy about his mouth, and then it was gone and he was fine. So it was pretty sad. He was actually better though with this molar coming in than when he got the ones that Reese is getting now. When he got those, that was that period, I think last like January, where he was not sleeping at all. And I was like crawling into the crib with him trying to get him to sleep.
I remember that.
That was a nightmare because he got all four at once.
Oh, Jesus. Oh my God. So well, at least to get it over with fast.
Yeah. But. Yeah. It's one of those things, you know, and it's a really rough period, but then, you know, he was done. So, you know, take what you can get.
Yeah. Elle's getting her first of the molars. I felt it yesterday. She was doing this weird look on her face, like she was in pain and screaming. And I'm like, is something wrong with you? You know, I didn't know if there was something like actually wrong or if she was in pain. So, because I don't put my fingers in her mouth that much to see what teeth are coming in. And when I do, I'm like, whoa, you've got a lot more teeth than I realized. And I feel bad because I'm trying to keep track of it for the baby book. I don't know if you guys are doing that, writing down when they're certain teeth come in and all of that, but it's hard to keep track for me.
Same here.
Have you guys done a dentist appointment yet?
I have not.
No, and I was kind of on the fence about the whole dentist thing because everything that you read online says, like if you go to the American Academy of Pediatric Dentistry or whatever their website, it says that you're supposed to take them to the dentist at their first tooth or at the latest by their first birthday, which – according to everyone else I talked to, including my pediatrician, is a bunch of hooey. They said like 2 or 3, you should be taking them to the dentist because before that, you know, they're not going to do anything and they're just going to be too young and it's going to freak them out.
And I'm guessing that they're saying just when their first tooth comes in or at least by their first birthday, just so that, you know, the dentist can give parents a guide, like, you know, you should be trying to brush your kids' teeth at night before bed. Just the basics. But we're, you know, we can find that stuff online. And I think most of us are already doing that.
Right. Yeah.
I talked to my dentist about it. And they gave me the little piece of paper about with, you know, when certain teeth would be coming in. So that was a good guideline to go against. And they recommended, they seemed fine that I take her there, but my pediatrician recommended possibly taking her to a you know, a child's dentist, which I think what we're going to do. And she said 1 to 2, between 1 to 2. So I don't know. 1 to 2, 2 to 3. I think it's just the parents' call at that point.
Yeah, and I think a pediatric dentist is a good idea too because they have, you know, kind of the better rapport with kids and they've got like the cool office and the toys and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I asked my dentist as well and he said, yeah, they're not going to do very much, so it's up to you. But he did sort of give me a guideline on how fast he should be teething, and he had said that, you know, they should get around, you know, the first tooth around 8 or 9 months at the latest, and then 3 teeth a month for every 4 months. Beyond that, and he said, just watch that and brush them and it should be fine, and take him in when you think he's old enough to understand it.
That's a good guideline.
But he also did say that if we wanted, every time we went in for our cleaning, he would just kind of look around and not charge us for it. So that was kind of nice. So maybe your regular dentist would do that too if you brought them in.
Oh, that is nice.
Well, let's continue to talk about Halloween before we move on, because Natalie and Alex made homemade costumes, which I thought was so, so cute. Do you guys want to talk about the process of that before we move on to our sponsor?
Sure. Why don't you take it, Alex?
Microphone was on mute. So Josh and I, we went back and forth probably for about 2 months, just debating on what we wanted to dress Reese up for Halloween. And he really wanted her to be this little monster because he calls her a little princess monster. And she's my little princess, so I wanted her to be a real princess like Snow White or Cinderella. So we went back and forth, and you can hear her in the background. And finally, what we came, we decided on was a Reese's Pieces peanut butter cup because her name is Reese. So, you know, actually, Natalie and Jennifer, you guys inspired me because you guys, I feel like you guys make everything. Jennifer, you did such a great job with Elle's birthday. I feel like everything there was homemade. And Natalie, you're taking this sewing class. So you guys really inspired me. I'm like, okay, If they can do it, I can do it. So it took me probably much longer than it would have taken you guys. But I did it. I made her a little tutu. Jennifer actually homemade tutu favors for all the little girls at Elle's birthday party. They were beautiful. And actually, this is
I was meaning to put a tutorial up about that, but I think you may have linked to a video that would work too. I didn't get to watch the whole thing. But,
yeah, there are actually quite a few. Thank you for the suggestion.
Yeah, my sister actually taught me. I need to post a picture of her little girl's Halloween costumes on Mommy Beta too. She made them Barbie costumes, and oh my gosh, they're...
I saw them on Facebook. They're adorable.
So cute. She starts working on things like 4 months in advance. I think the costumes were done like in September.
I think you should still post a video because I would love to see.
Yeah, no, I'd be happy to.
So I bought 3 bags of the mini Reese's Pieces peanut butter cups, the family size, and I opened all of them and I ate a lot of them. I was sick after. And because I was going to use the little brown wrappers, and I had this old skirt, and I just used a hot glue gun and I glued them onto the skirt, and it took me hours, probably an hour a night for 4 days. And then it turned out I didn't love it because there was a ton of pink showing through. So I ended up going to the fabric store and just buying a tool to make a tutu. So it all worked out, but it was kind of one of those live and learn that ended up in the trash. Not the candies, though. Those are frozen in the freezer.
But you mean you didn't have sketches like Natalie?
No, Natalie, I was impressed. So next year I'll do that. So Natalie, why don't you talk about your process?
Yeah, so I had this like idea in my head like for months that I wanted to make an alligator because the way he says it is adorable. He calls them an aganana. So it's like, okay, well, that's cute. Like you can tell – he'll be able to tell people what he is and they'll think it's funny, which actually ended up happening, which was pretty cute. But I couldn't figure out how I wanted to do it. My first thought was I was going to take one of those like big alligator stuffed animals and I was going to cut it out and – or cut it in half and like attach one half to the front of him and one half to the back of him. And I was like, no, that's not going to work. And then I was going to do a vest and I had all these iterations. And then I was at this cute little consignment store nearby and they had this Kelly green sweatshirt. And I was like, oh, that's the perfect alligator color. So then I was like, okay, I've got all kinds of stuff at home. I've got felts, I've got some green fabric. So I decided, you know, okay, let's put this down on paper so I can kind of, you know, sort it out and figure out how I'm going to actually construct it because I was working without a pattern. So I figured drawing it was going to be my best bet. So that's what I did. You can see on the blog post, I have kind of a little sketch of the front and the back. I've got a little flap for the alligator's mouth and a tail and some spikes down the back and some little pants. And it came together really well and it was really fun to do. I decided that I like, yeah, I made Elle this pretty, well, I'm in the process of making Elle this pretty party dress for her first birthday. It's not quite done.
It's gorgeous. I can't wait to get my hands on it.
And it was really fun to do. But it's a little bit stressful to make something nice because it's supposed to look good. The seams are supposed to be straight and you're not supposed to see, you know, any rough edges or this or that. So you have to be a little bit more careful. And my sewing skills aren't great yet, so it's a little bit harder. But to do something like this where it's a costume, so it doesn't matter if it's a little bit wonky. It kind of makes it fun, you know, if, like the eyes are a little bit crooked. You know, it doesn't matter. So I really had a really good time making it, and it also didn't take very long because it's felt and it doesn't need to be hemmed. And, you know, it was just kind of a basic costume to do. So I think it's really fulfilling. I think in all of our careers, we don't physically make anything. There's no kind of end product to hold in your hands. So for me, you know, cooking or sewing or doing those crafty projects gives me something kind of tangible that I can feel proud of. And I think that it's a really, really good feeling. And for people who, you know, don't think they can do it, I think that you can. And I hope that, you know, seeing these little homemade costumes can be a little bit of inspiration maybe for next year for somebody's birthday party or this or that, because I think you'll be surprised at how good it feels to make something.
And would you say you're saving money on this?
Oh, for sure.
Really? Because I spent $40 on this lion costume that we did not use.
Yeah. I was going to say, I was the opposite. I didn't save any money. That was one of the reasons I thought I wanted to make it, because I thought I didn't want to pay $40 for this monster costume or $40 for a princess costume. But after the candy and the tool, it ended up being about $40. Okay. So I didn't say anything, but I think you can if you're sewing, just because the fabric is so inexpensive.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess the point too. Yeah. I mean, like Natalie mentioned in her post, I mean, we loaded up on some fabric at this Serena and Lily sample sale that we went to recently. I mean, I got a huge bolt of fabric that they normally charge $40 for 2 yards, and you have to buy a minimum of 2 yards. So I got a whole bolt of that for $10. Yeah. But what I was going to say was that, you know, the fun thing about making the costume is it's one of a kind, you know, so maybe you didn't save money, but no one else out there is a little Reese cup with an adorable little tutu, you know, so
yeah, it's
special
totally agree.
Just for her. So
I loved it. I loved being able to say, oh, I made it. There was some sense of pride. I was like, oh totally. I did this, and I made this for my little girl, and it was special, and I took the time out. And I don't make a lot of things, so I'm actually going to, that's kind of what I'm going to work on this next year, is just making. And Natalie, I'm looking into sewing classes.
Oh, really? Oh, yes. I loved it. I have so much more confidence now, because I used to be paranoid, just like scared of the sewing machine. And now I'm pretty confident, you know?
It's kind of a foreign object to me, but.
Totally.
Did you, I'm looking at, at the community college here.
Yep, that's where I did mine. Not at SF State, but not in San Francisco, but I did it at my local community college.
Cool.
Yeah, and I wanted to do that too. I have a sewing machine that I've had for about 5 years. It's pretty dusty that I learned how to thread years ago, but then I bought vintage patterns, which are probably a little more challenging than the 1, 2, 3 patterns that are available today. So I definitely need some help to get a little boost.
Jennifer was going to start an apron making business.
Yes, this is before they became widely popular. You see them everywhere now, these adorable aprons. But I bought all the fabric, and I had my sewing machine. And, of course, it's another one of those ideas that gets pushed to the wayside.
You do have a lot. There's so many good ideas. You just need to grab one and go for it.
Follow through. I was thinking about that the other day. I was thinking, how many of us moms actually have things that we're setting out to do, and then – it doesn't, we run out of time. We don't get, you know, to finish it. And then I feel kind of bad about it. You know, like I was working on her baby book the other day, and I'm like, oh, her 11th month. What? Okay. Gotta think of these things. What was going on in her 11th month?
Oh yeah. That's the worst, because you forget when did he say this word? Was it 10 or 9 months or those you got to stay on top of. But you know, the projects, like we have projects we're bringing to fruition. We have mommy beta.
Yes, this is true.
Mommy made it take up a lot of time. And a blacklist. Yeah.
And while we're on the topic of just crafts, I want to throw out the new company that I mentioned on the blog this week, Kiwi Crate.
Oh, yeah. Before you do that, though, let's mention our sponsor, Gazelle, because time's getting away from us. So I just wanted to make sure that we give plenty of plenty of love and updates to Gazelle, because because they are so nice to support the Mommy Beta podcast. If you don't know what gazelle.com is, I encourage you highly to go and visit the site. It is a place where you can sell your used consumer electronic goods. So look around your house. If you see a camera or a cell phone that you don't use anymore, go to Gazelle, put in the item of the thing that you want to sell and the condition that it's in, and Gazelle will say, okay, we think this is worth this amount of money. They'll help you ship it. They'll print a shipping label out for you right then and there. If it's too big, they'll send you a box. They'll pay for shipping. Once they get that thing, they will either say, yes, this is in the condition that you said it was in. Sometimes they'll say, this is in a better condition than you said it was in. So we're going to give you even more money. And then they send you money, either a check in the mail, a PayPal payment, or an Amazon gift card. So it's such a great way to, you know, look around your house, see what is valuable that you're not finding value out of, and then use that money, especially with the holidays coming and we all have our do-it-yourself projects, or we want to buy our husband something nice or our kids something nice, and you just need a little extra spending cash. Gazelle.com is a great way to find it. So please visit Gazelle. You can follow them on Twitter, Gazelle_com, and tell them that you heard about them from the Mommy Beta podcast, because we appreciate their support a lot on this show. And also, we have another show sponsor that is giving us a Sonos system, which we're going to announce at the end of the show. So if you've been listening to us drone on about Halloween, we apologize without telling you about the Sonos. We are going to tell you about that after Jennifer talks about her posts this week. So hang in there, because we already have one lucky winner. We can't wait to tell him or her about it. Okay.
Any other questions about Gazelle Ladies comments?
No, but answers? I love the fact that they'll actually send you more money if it was in better condition. I didn't know that.
Yeah, that happens a lot, actually, because sometimes you don't want to be that person who's like, you know, that person on Craigslist, you're like, this is brand new, and it's not.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, you can sometimes under-promise and over-deliver, and they'll pay you for that. It's nice.
Yeah. Definitely. I had questions about that too. Like, oh, well, it doesn't really look like it has nicks on it, but maybe they'll think differently. So it's good to know that they actually come back to you.
Yeah. So it's a good thing. Thank you very much, Gazelle. And now, Jennifer, you wanted to talk about your mom on this very sweet post, but first, why don't you tell us about Kiwi Crate?
Sure. Yeah, I'll just mention it briefly, but they just launched. It's a super cool company. I know you girls have probably heard more about these companies that are subscription-based, that you receive something each month, whether it be beauty crop products, and that's Birchbox. But this is Kiwi Crate, and basically what they've done is they put together a box, a crate, they call it, of fun projects for parents to do with their kids or their kids can do on their own, generally for ages 3 to 6, and they focus on different themes. And basically, for the price of $19.95, you'll get one of these crates delivered to your house each month. And you don't have to make any trips to the craft store. You don't have to research what projects to do. And it's educational for your kids. And it really helps them just explore their creativity and get curious about the way things work. And I just thought it was a really great idea. So I just wanted to share it with our listeners and our readers.
I think that's a super cool idea, Jennifer. Do you know, is it cost effective?
You know, I think when it comes to your time, I guess it depends on how much time something like this would cost to research and then running over to the craft store, you know, the cost of the crafts, but also gas to get there and all that stuff. So really saving you time. And, you know, I loved getting mail as a kid. I don't know if you guys did, but just seeing some super cool box arrive every month that it was just for me, I would get really excited about that. So it seems like it'd be something great for grandparents to get the grandkids. Maybe they would do it together, you know, something like that.
Yeah, I think it's about $20 a month. And I was thinking it would be a great gift, like for, you know, a birthday party. Like we're going to a 4-year-old's birthday party in a couple weeks. And I know he has so many toys and so many clothes. And it was just something kind of a little different and something, you know, that he might appreciate in a different way, and that mom and dad might appreciate in a different way. So I'm thinking about doing this for that birthday present, just to do a 1 month kind of subscription. And I think that seems about in the right range of what you are supposed to spend for a little kid's birthday party. So I think that it is a good gift option.
Yeah. Okay. Awesome. Well, let us know how it turns out, or if you hear any feedback after you give it to him. So I guess I should move on to my other post that I really wanted to focus on. And it was my mom's birthday this past week. And I cannot believe she's 57. If you went on the blog and saw her picture, she looks fabulous.
She does.
Thank you. She did Weight Watchers this year. She's basically been doing Weight Watchers since January and has lost a lot of weight. I won't put a number out there because she might not be happy about it.
You already said her age, so
Hey, well, oh my gosh. Well, she looks fabulous. She looks like she's 35, you know, which means we're like 20.
She does. You can see, I met her recently at Elle's birthday party, and you can see where Jennifer gets her good looks and her charm. Not that your daddy's not charming, but your mom just oozes it. It comes out of her.
Oh, well, thank you. She's going to love hearing that. So anyways, yeah, we butt heads, you know, occasionally if I'm home a little too long or, you know, if we have nothing else to do. but I've noticed recently that, you know, finding myself doing things like, oh my gosh, this is so what my mom does, or I'm so much like her. And just having my daughter, I've learned to appreciate more of what an amazing mom she is, you know, and really see that, you know, not everyone has that privilege. And I'm really, really, really lucky. And I feel like sometimes we don't say those things to our parents. We just assume that they know them. But I really wanted to tell her because she deserves to hear it from me. And maybe she never thought she'd hear it. It's not that I don't say I love you or thank you or you're awesome or anything like that. But, you know, I feel like for everything she's done, I just wanted her to know that, you know, I'm happy that I have a lot of your qualities and I hope I get more. So I don't know how you guys feel about, you know, your mom or your parents or, you know, if you've noticed more of that since you've had a child.
Now, and how did she react to this? Did she call you and cry?
You know, I think she was a little I guess, taken back, you know? Like, I don't think she knew how to respond. Not in a bad way. Just, like, touched so much that she didn't really know how to say anything, you know? And I know many of you may have looked in the comments, and her comment was the first one. So, and she can be very, not emotional, but just she can cry pretty, not easily, but about certain things. If she's really touched, then she can cry. And so she had said, you know, oh, way to bring tears to my eyes. So I have a feeling that there may have been a few tears, and, you know, just made her really feel good and happy, and know that, you know, everything she was trying to do, it made me who I am today. And I hope I'm as good mom as to my daughter. So she just seemed really, I don't know, touched.
Well, Jennifer, I mean, we can share your age. You're 31 or 32?
I'll be 32 this year.
You're 32. So your mom had to wait 32 years to hear this, though. Can we imagine? Like,
I know.
We're doing everything that they did, but we may not hear this kind of thank you for a long time. So if you put yourself in her shoes, because when Miles was, I think, 5 weeks old, his mom came, Clayton's mom came to visit us, and we went out to dinner, and we were just generally talking about life, adjusting to life with the new baby. And Clayton says to his mom, just out of the blue, he goes, well, you know, having Miles has really made me realize how much you did for me and how great you were at this. And I just, you know, feel so grateful for you. And I thought her jaw would have hit the dinner table. And she just looked at him like,
it's so sweet.
Did you really just say this to me? I've been waiting 34 years to hear. It was such a great moment. And I thought,
that brought tears to my eyes.
And I thought to myself, do I have to wait 34 years to hear this from Miles?
Probably.
Yeah, you know, I really think that my dad's always like, you just wait until you have a child, and here it is, you know. But at least it's made me realize, you know, how lucky I am. And so that's just really what it boils down to. But I agree. I don't think any of us has the capacity to realize just how much our parents love us. I mean, it's hard to think of our parents as people, you know, when we were growing up. I don't know if you guys ever felt that way. They're like, they're my parents.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter, you know. So at least it does give us this perspective. And I think it will be a long time coming in terms of hearing something back. Was it one of you ladies that we talked about on the podcast a long time ago where we're saying that we're taking care of a baby all day long and they're not saying thank you or something like that? Or am I imagining that?
Yeah, I think we did. And there was a woman who commented on the blog who said, you know, the babies say thank you in other ways. They kiss you, they hold you, uh-huh. They look for you, which is true. And so if we're not looking for that, then we're really missing, you know, the way that our babies love us. And that in itself is a thank you. But it still is nice to hear. I mean, can you think of any one of us getting a blog post like this in 30 years?
It'd be amazing.
I know. I hope so. Well, you know, and the tricky thing is I don't think it's so much now because they are so loving. Like, Elle loves to snuggle, and I love that. And I love, you know, holding her before putting her down for bed and all that. But I think the tricky time comes when they're getting into their teens and figuring out themselves. And so figuring out how you keep that bond, you know, open and strong during that time, I think is challenging.
Well, we'll deal with that on the Mommy Baby Podcast.
We've got some time.
Yeah.
Four new mommies beta testing teenagers.
Yeah. We'll call them teeny betas. That's cute. All right. Well, before we move on, I would say it's time now to announce our winner. What do you guys say?
Yay!
So, once again, we are giving away an entire complete Sonos sound system. This is a $750 value because it comes with the speakers and the bridge, so you can play music in multiple rooms. If you're not the winner, I still encourage you to look at Sonos.com and look at their products because they're awesome. We use them all the time in our house just to stream podcasts or music or radio, or Miles likes to dance around to the Disney station on Pandora. So I keep that going all the time. It's great. So we want to congratulate, drum roll please, Edinson Mena. I'm not sure if I'm saying that right name. Her name is Edinson Mena. That might be a male name. I don't know. There were a lot of males that entered because men love their gadgets. So anyway.
They love mommy beta. Men love mommy beta.
We have a lot of male listeners, readers.
It's true. I mean, I think men like to talk about parenting just as much. I mean, that's why there's the Daddy on Board podcast as well. But, you know, men are looking to relate to something. Did you guys see that new Tide ad, by the way? The
no.
Tide ad that features a stay-at-home dad. I saw it on the blog this year. You know what? We should post something about that. And I know they're going to talk about that on Daddy on Board today, too, because it's the first commercial that features a stay-at-home dad that doesn't poke fun at him. It's a little bit funny, but it's really just a dude saying, you know, I like to get the spots out of my kids' dresses using Tide.
Sweet.
I love that.
Oh, that is so sweet.
Yeah, it's really interesting. It's that they're really the first marketers to say, you know what, this is a market that we should talk to and stop making fun of them.
That's great.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So listen to the Daddy on Board podcast for their take on that. And I think they'll probably play it as well. So anyway, we are giving away more stuff. We got a printer to give away next week. So I hope you're visiting mommybeta.com regularly. Mm-hmm. And before we go, someone's got a reminder to do something. That should remind us to do our little victory. And one of us is not going to do it this week. We had a viewer submission. Natalie, do you want to read that one?
Yeah. So we, you know, at the end of all of our podcasts, we ask you to chime in. And we had a great one this week come through our Mommy Beta Facebook page. And it's from Lisa Esky Rodriguez. And basically, she's talking about how she's been teaching her little boy, Jax, who's just a few days older than Reese, how to sign. And I'll read you a little section of what she said. She said, one sign we've been really consistent on is all done. And this past week, Jax learned to say, it sounds like aga, and has been using it in context quite frequently, including during lunch in his high chair. We could tell he was pooping, and afterward, you guessed it, he told us he was all done. We were so impressed.
That's so cute.
Love it.
Yeah, so you've got two victories there. That's saying all done and recognizing your bowel movement, which is a good step toward
that
training.
That's huge.
I know, amazing.
So we're very proud of little Jax, and we thank Lisa for sharing her little victory with us.
And she did that on Facebook, which you are always free to do, Facebook.com/mommybeta. You can also post it on the blog anywhere. We'll find it, mommybeta.com, or tweet us at mommybeta. We like tweets as well.
We do.
So thank you so much for listening to the Mommy Beta podcast. Again, congratulations to our big winner of the Sonos, and make sure you're coming back. We've got the printer to give away and more stuff. We've got a holiday gift guide coming up. We've got a lot for you, so make sure you're coming back regularly. Thank you so much, ladies, and thank you for listening to the Mommy Beta podcast.
Thanks, everybody.
Bye. Thanks.
You and me rolling on the floor, practicing your somersaults, your cartwheels, your donkey kicks, and more. How did you grow so big overnight? How did you get so smart and bright? Yesterday you were asleep in my arms, today you're growing off the charts. I'm so proud of you. Drawing pictures wild and free, while the paint goes flying, your big smile, it brightens up the room. You and me reading books in bed, your head on my shoulder, your eyes on the pages ahead. How did you grow so big overnight? How did you get so smart and bright? Yesterday you were asleep in my arms, today you're growing off the charts. I'm so proud of you. I'm so proud of you.